In 2017, Dr. Dugald Seeley was awarded the Dr. Rogers Prize for contributions to complementary and alternative health in Canada. It is a unique Canadian prize that acknowledges the role of CAMHS, and it supports research with the awarding of a $250,000 prize. So what exactly is the contribution of complementary therapies to healthcare? Is it a feel-good kind of thing with a placebo effect? Are there direct and verifiable outcomes? And how do complementary and alternative therapies intersect with allopathic medicine? The pushback against CAMHS over the years has been fierce. Up to the 1970s, non-allopathic therapies were known as irregular practices and derided as not being evidence-based, meaning those therapies could not be accepted as biomedicine. Since then, the door of acceptance has cracked open thanks to the efforts of physicians like Dr. Rogers, who were willing to introduce therapies they believed would benefit their patients. Those who did so risked their reputations and their license to practice medicine. In Dr. Rogers' case, he was brought before a review board for employing the use of ozone in the treatment of a patient who was about to have his foot amputated. The treatment was successful and saved the patient's foot. However, a nurse on the ward where the treatment was administered complained to the College of Physicians and Surgeons. At great expense to himself, Dr. Rogers defended his practices, his reputation, and the right of physicians to introduce complementary and alternative therapies. The World Health Organization this year in 2019, at its 72nd annual assembly, produced a report on traditional and complementary medicine, in which it says 98 member states have developed national policies on TNCM, or traditional and complementary medicines, and 124 countries have implemented regulations on herbal medicines. The report goes on to say that where traditional and complementary care converge, they can help tackle the unique health challenges of the 21st century. So back here in Canada, Dr. Dugald Seeley is one of a significant number of dedicated healthcare professionals delivering complementary and alternative care, and conducting peer-reviewed research. Dr. Seeley's research on cardiovascular disease has been published in the Canadian Medical Association Journal. He's in the midst of an 11-year thoracic poise trial in partnership with Ottawa Hospital, and he is the founder and executive director of the Ottawa Integrative Cancer Centre, as well as the executive director of research at the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine. He says evidence-based complementary medicine has a positive impact on patients and the healthcare system. We invited Dr. Dugald Seeley to join us for a conversation that matters about empowered health through a holistic approach to wellness.
Conversations That Matter is a partner program of the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the following and viewers like you. Please become a patron at conversationsthatmatter.tv.
Dugald Seeley, welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, congratulations on being awarded the Dr. Rogers Prize in 2017. What did it mean to you to be named the recipient?
It was an incredible moment in time. I remember. And it was just, I've been to the Rogers Prize for years, and I've seen this, and I've seen the people that have received the award. So it felt pretty amazing to be part of that company, I have to say.
Now, they give out that award based on research that you've done, and that you've been furthering the field of research that becomes empirical evidence that complementary and alternative medicine works. Specifically, you had produced a study that has been published in the CMAJ about cardiovascular work working with postal employees. Can you tell me a little bit about that study?
We worked with Canada Post and the union of at Canada Post as well to really try to support the wellness of the employees and the union. And so this was a sort of a culmination of three other studies that we did before. We had looked at one at low back pain, we looked at one at shoulder pain, and we looked at anxiety, all of which were successful in Toronto in terms of in a group of participants that were randomized to receiving essentially naturopathic care alongside whatever they were doing with their GP and conventional medicine. And so then that led to this fourth study, which was a larger cross-Canada study. We had three major city centers enrolling, and that was looking at essentially risk, trying to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease over time through the inclusion of naturopathic medicine. So we pre-screened over 1,100 workers at Canada Post, and out of that pre-screen, we identified a cohort that were at higher risk. And we took that cohort and then we randomized that one group. We randomized them into a group that received naturopathic care and then the other group that was receiving their usual care. And we looked at a number of outcomes over time. Quality of life, we also looked at cost impacts as well. And we looked at the incidence of metabolic syndrome and the risk for cardiovascular disease. And all of the outcomes came back quite positive.
Just got to get you to hang on for a second while we take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Conversations That Matter is brought to you by Odlum Brown, a client-focused investment firm that starts client relationships with straightforward conversations focused on you, your aspirations, and your investment priorities. Odlum Brown has been a supporter of Conversations That Matter from the day we started this show. Their only condition was that we provide a non-biased conversation with people from all sides of all sorts of issues. And of course, we couldn't produce this show without the support of Oh Boy Productions. If you're looking to produce a show like this one, I suggest you reach out to Oh Boy. They can help you produce it, and they can help you build your audience. And we also need your support. I ask you to please pledge $1 per show by going to conversationsthatmatter.tv/donate, because those dollars add up and play an important role in helping us produce this show. Now, back to the show. What would be the difference in the care? You've got these two randomized groups. One is getting the allopathic standard model of care that is designed to help them lower their risk of cardiovascular disease. And then there's the naturopathic model. What's the difference?
The standard care would be what they receive with the GP. We didn't monitor that very closely, but these people didn't have an actual disease per se at the time too. So they wouldn't have had been receiving a lot of care from that standpoint. The kinds of things that the NDs, the naturopathic doctors did for these patients was looking at lifestyle based changes in terms of making some nutritional choices that are more heart healthy, if you will, sort of more in line with the Mediterranean diet, coaching the patients in that aspect. Helping to coach them and support them in adopting more exercise into their lifestyle. Weight control might have been part of that as well. And then there was a few targeted supplements that were used that had evidence for supporting heart health as well. So fish oils as one example. And
namely omega-3s?
Omega-3s, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, we looked at a few things there it was sort of a compilation of therapies that naturopaths would use in standard care of their practice. And so it wasn't really standardized per se, but it was more pragmatic, more reflective of real practice.
Well, one of the other components that you mentioned to me off camera was about a mental, emotional perspective to this as well. And I'm quite interested in that because a couple of years ago I had read that at the University of Virginia, they had finally discovered what is a physical link between our brains and our immune system. And so I can't help but think that state of mind plays a role.
And there's a lot of science to back it up that, there is a connection between the mind and the body, and the body affects the mind and vice versa. We see now that depression is, there's an impact on the microbiome, even on depression. So there's the idea of the division between the mind and the body is one that I think that we're really moving away from, and that we're recognizing the whole health of a person encompasses how their perspective is, how they're dealing with stresses, how they're perceiving that stress, as well as how fit they are and what they're eating. So it's all together. you know, you can have definitely more impact through certain means than others. So it's good to parse it out. But we're moving more away from this sort of division, divisive process to, I think, a more holistic approach to health. And that's where naturopathic medicine really, really shines.
So in all of this, there's much more attention paid to the individual patient. There is a more in-depth relationship between the clinician and the patient.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I can hear somebody going, okay, but how do we deliver that? I mean, right. We already have an overstressed healthcare model. Right. Are there ways in which we can benefit from, that everybody can benefit from this, and it still will work within a system that is pushed to the limit?
I think absolutely. And to your first point, it's a very integrative, interactive process between the naturopathic doctor and the patient or the person that they're seeing. Because most of what we do requires engagement by the patient in terms of making changes for their health. So, you know, Stu, if I was going to see you and suggest, you know, to give you a prescription of exercise as well, there's a way of really engaging you in that process to make it more relevant to you and to make you want to do that more and all of that. So that aspect of health, I think we lose in our current system because physicians don't have the time. They know that this is important, but they don't have the time, nor do they have really the training in this area. It's not what they're geared for. So I think naturopathic medicine and complementary medicine really has a role to play in terms of more proactive, preventative kind of healthcare where we are really actually saving the system dollars. Mm-hmm. And that's where we need to be doing some more research, because if I can help stop someone go to emerge because they're going to have a less likelihood for a heart attack down the road, that's going to save a huge amount for the system. So it's I think the two systems can work very well together, but we need to be able to support some of this more preventative based naturopathic care more effectively.
Are we not really across all spectrum starting to move toward more of that functional medicine model where, you know, we're intervening rather than responding to symptoms and potentially dire outcomes?
Yeah, I would say so. The optimistic part of me definitely would agree. And I think we are moving towards that some more. There's more awareness amongst the public about what good health is, and people are making these choices. And I think so it's there's an openness there, and I think there's also an openness within the physicians as well to recognize this is a really important aspect of care. It's encouraging for sure. Yeah.
So you're now currently working on a new study. What is that?
We're about a third of the way through a study which is looking at an integrative approach to patients who have cancer, either lung, gastric, or esophageal cancer. And that we're doing this at the Ottawa Integrative Cancer Center, where we are essentially, we're going to be randomizing patients to receiving naturopathic care alongside with their usual care at the hospital. That includes surgery and potentially chemotherapy or radiation. And then we're also adding this naturopathic component. And then the other group, which is going to be randomized as the control, will be receiving just usual care on its own. So, and then we're going to be looking at a variety of outcomes, including quality of life, long-term survival. We're looking at inflammatory markers, and we're also looking at cost evaluation as well.
So in the area of cancer, there seems to have been great strides that have been made in helping to improve outcomes and also quality of life for patients who are in the midst of receiving treatment as a result of CAMS treatment. How important is this? Because every time I do research about complementary and alternative medicine, it keeps coming back to, well, cancer. And even when we go back and take a look at the work of Dr. Rogers, so much of it was rooted around him helping his patients deal with cancer. Yeah. And so why is it that it seems to be this natural fit within the world of cancer treatment that we're able to see significant benefits?
Well, I think for one thing, the situation that cancer patients are dealing with the diagnosis is so overwhelming and touches all aspects of their lives. And they also, they really are motivated to do everything they can. And so there's this drive and motivation from the patients in as part of the equation. And then there's also a great potential to actually make a difference for them, certainly in terms of supportive care and their quality of life and having the capacity to manage through some of the symptoms that they're going through and really helping them to get through that more effectively. There's also a lot of hype that's out there around some of the alternative therapies. And that's, I think, you know, a counterpoint, which is not so positive because it often drives people to make, I would say, ill-informed choices or quick decisions and thinking that, you know, that there's some possible cure that is just easily achievable. And that's a really dangerous place to be too. So integrative, right.
We have to be careful that we're not going, oh, here it is.
Yeah.
This is the magic formula that we've all been waiting for, because it does a disservice to anybody who wants to explore that and then may not see an outcome that says, oh, I'm cured.
Right.
Because it's not necessarily a cure, but it may be an improvement in quality of life, a reduction of the impact of symptoms that come with treatment and so on that play a big role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having that, and we really try to balance that line very well, and it's and ethically, because it's easy to it's easy for patients to fall to the allure of something that there is some cure that there has been withheld or hidden from them. Thankfully, most of our patients, and I think they self-select, come to the clinic because they want an integrative approach, which is nice.
So if you were talking to somebody who goes, okay, but how do I work my way through that messaging? How do I find those clinicians and clinics that are going to provide me with what would be legitimate quality care?
Well, I have to speak from I guess, the perspective of there's the Oncology Association of Naturopathic Physicians, which is a North American organization. And they really are touting good, you know, ethical, evidence-informed care and not falling on the side of pure alternative medicine in this case. And I think that's a really important thing to look at. So looking at the training of the practitioners, I would say, is one of the aspects that's important for a patient dealing with this. And also asking good questions of the clinician or the naturopathic doctor or whomever they're seeing about the expectations that they should have for this care. What are the costs? What are the possible risks? What are the harms? And what are the likely benefits? And how would they be able to actually observe that for themselves or not?
I also, if you can confirm for me, it's my understanding that there is a College of Naturopathic Medicine. So in other words, there's a regulatory body that is overseeing that there are minimum standards are met.
So the ONCANP is an organization of naturopathic doctors in North America that come from accredited colleges. So yes, all the provinces have regulatory, or most of the provinces have regulatory boards that oversee the naturopathic practice in that province. And in the States, there's the same thing. So, yeah.
What are the basics of naturopathic medicine? Because I know I'm sort of working backwards, but as somebody who would be watching this and then starting to get more and more into the topic, they might go, okay, well, this is really interesting, but I don't really understand what naturopathic medicine is and how it's different than allopathic medicine.
Right. It's a great question. I think people often understand naturopathic medicine by the kind of practices that the clinicians are using. So that would be, you know, dietary supplements or natural health products. They're going to be using herbal medicine. They're going to use nutrition, acupuncture. These are sort of the therapies that the NDs will use. But really, I think it's better distinguished more by the philosophy, which is sort of looking at the totality of the health of the person to try to support all aspects of their health, whether it's physical or mental, emotional, just really, and obviously targeting what's important for the patient, but looking at the whole picture, not just treating the pathology or one focal point of that. And I think good clinicians overall are trying to do that too, but this is really a clear emphasis for naturopathic doctors. And then where possible, we try to get to, you know, root cause if we can. It's not always possible, but try to uncover what is contributing to the disease that's more sort of fundamental for the person. And then education and prevention are really key as well. So how do we, education is part of that interactive component, trying to support the person to make good choices for themselves outside of the visit. It's not just here's a pill and take that, right? It's like, how can you make these lifestyle choices and adopt them going forward?
It's not like my doctor told me to. It's more I'm working with my doctor and we've developed this strategy or plan.
Yeah, it is a working with. I think that's a great way of distinguishing it. Yeah.
So let's come full circle in this conversation and come back to the Dr. Rogers Prize and its role in ensuring that we continue to move forward with additional research, because we can never say we're there. No. Science is never settled. We have to keep growing our base of knowledge and understanding. What needs to happen in Canada in particular, because this is where we live, but in North America, probably a little bit more specifically, to ensure that we're seeing an expansion of the understanding and the validity of complementary and alternative therapies?
Well, I think, like, looking at what are the strengths of complementary and alternative medicine and why are people going to these practices is really important. And then actually giving it the importance that the public is actually giving it. And I think there's still this sort of ivory tower approach to research and to medicine that, you know, excludes this because, oh, it's just placebo or we don't understand it, or, you know, it's not really tightly easily understood from a biological mechanism. That doesn't mean that we can't study it from biological mechanisms. Absolutely, we should. But I think that really giving it the credence that the public is giving it, looking at why are people using this and what are the actual benefits. And then I think also looking at the preventative benefits more of an upstream approach to care rather than a more sort of reactive healthcare system, which is what we have. And you don't always see those changes right there, but you can see them in the longer term.
Hmm. So it looks like promising days from your perspective.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah. Which is good. And do you find that having now won the Dr. Rogers Prize, that it helps you in pushing forward new initiatives that you're wanting to explore? Like, what is the weight of this award?
Yeah, well, I think it's opened some doors in terms of, you know, other opportunities for sure. People are very aware of the prize and they recognize it for the prestige that it is. So it certainly helps in terms of, you know, having a conversation with another scientist or a physician about, you know, being engaged in research. So that's been very helpful, and I think it also from a more sort of, you know, Canadian-wide perspective, it helps to solidify the importance of this kind of work as well.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing this with us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.